So as we look at Mark chapter 6, a quick bit of technical information about this chapter. This deals with the servant's ministry. We saw his power in the last chapter. We're going to see his ministry in this one. The key verse will be verse 6 of what goes on here. And what he says there, we're going to see it several times. It says, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. And I think that's the thing we see even to this day, is you see a lot of unbelief in people. And this unbelief comes from the church people. One time the treasurer told me years ago, somebody sent a check and paid off the church with it. And they said, why didn't they give it to me? I said, because I believe they would and you didn't. Amen. That's why I got the check and you didn't. I didn't have a bad treasurer then. She said, I didn't ever think that's going to happen. I said, exactly. But the next time something happens, she believed. God do things to change your mind about stuff. And he's going to do something here with these folks that they're not ever going to forget. This chapter, of course, is 56 verses and 1,323 words, all at a 4.7 grade level, kept forever in our King James Bible, as we pick up verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. As we look today at this message, I want to preach today on powerless Christians. Powerless Christians. If you've ever had the light bill not paid at your house and it got turned off, whether by you sorry and don't pay your bills or whether you forgot them, either way, they all equal the same thing. You'll be powerless. I've heard people say that recently there were some people that was living out in their car out behind the house near ours, and they were powerless. They didn't have nowhere to go, nowhere to plug anything to. No hair dryers. You ladies would die, wouldn't you? No hair dryers. No curling irons, no nothing like that. Powerless. If it's hot outside and it's powerless, you're hot inside. If it's cold outside and you're powerless, you're cold inside. And what we see with the difference in power is once you have power turned on, the lights come back on. And I believe our churches today need just the lights to come back on. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He must be the power then. But as we look at this day, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive and be part of your service today. Thank you, God, for what you've already given us so far in these services and Sunday school this morning. Pray, God, you'd work with us and be with us during this next time. Lord, help us understand the word of God according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray you'd teach this book to us by the Holy Ghost being inside us. And Lord, I pray you'd have me preach today according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, being in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we look at this message today, I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, where it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yeah. He said an evil heart of unbelief. I've heard people say that their heart, they feel in their heart that such and such. Jeremiah said about your heart is evil. It's wicked, desperately wicked. He says, who can know it save I the Lord? And we hear in Hebrews about the evil heart of unbelief. But as we look at this today, I want to say this. I do not want to be a powerless Christian. I want the lights to be on. I don't have the power of God to use me anywhere he wants to. I noticed in recent years you can buy a drill that's got a cord on it, or you can buy these new powerless ones. Back years ago, the little battery charged drills, they were junk. That's right. I mean, the best of companies made them, they were junk. They couldn't put a wood screw in wood to save your life. Yeah. Nowadays, I'll drill that thing through steel. So what's the difference? Power. Something says 1.5, something or other on that thing, well, that'll put nails in something. I mean, I'm telling you, things will get on with it. It ain't like yesterday's stuff. You don't have to have a drop cord no more. You just got to have a little base to plug that thing into, snap that thing in. And if I'm correct about this, we got to have a little base to plug us into. It's called the prayer closet. Yeah. We got to get in the prayer closet, bring the Bible with us, and go in there and talk to God. Just tell Him what's on our hearts and mind. Ask Him for what we need for the day, and let Him give it to us. He still can. But as we observe some realizations we got to come to, if we decide not to be a powerless Christian and we want to be used of God. The number one realization is this: powerless Christians are intellectual. Now listen to this. They're so intellectual that they think they know everything, therefore you can't tell them nothing. And as we see in verse 1, here's what the Lord sought. It says, when He went out from thence, He came to His own country, and His disciples follow Him. He sought them. He's seeking something out, and it says, and went on verse 2, and He went on the Sabbath day, was come. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing Him were astonished. What were they astonished? They couldn't deny His wisdom and works, but they did reject Him as Savior. And it says, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They rejected him personally. They rejected, listen to this, not his miracles, not his raising that little girl from the dead in the last chapter. They rejected his wisdom and, what was the other thing there, his works. Why? I know a lot of people that read the Bible and can't believe God will do any of this stuff. I met a man on Hardy's over there on 221, at that, not 221, but the Heron Circle place over there. I'd been dropped off from Bible college, just waiting on my pastor to pick me up, and I sat in there, and here was a man claiming he was atheist, debating a guy from one of them Bob Jones churches over in Spartanburg. Boy, you talking about something. They was intellectuals, both of them. He claimed he was educated, he claimed he was educated, and they couldn't convince one another of anything. Why? Powerless. Powerless. Not because of the school you attend, but because of what you do in that prayer closet. You would hit the drill, there's nothing going on. You don't know how bad I want to bring the drill today, and the Lord wouldn't let me. But I noticed this thing here. He began to teach. They rejected his words, they rejected his works, and they rejected his wisdom. They totally rejected him. They rejected what he taught, and they still do. I had to fill out a form this week that asked, what sex am I, male, female, or binary? I looked at that form. I thought, I've never met a binary in my life. I even looked it up in the Bible. It's not there. There's only two in the Bible. Yeah, right. But dear Lord, if you go to some of these liberals, there's 150 of them. I got news for you. The basic things in life are still basic and still simple. There's one of one and one of the other. There's not any more. So what if a person identifies, I don't care what they identify as, their identities are chosen for them. See, there's this little thing that people can't get away from that cops discovered and science put out there a few years back. It's called DNA. Yeah. You is what you is.
That's right.
That thing will tell, listen, I don't care what you look like on the outside, we take your DNA and tell everything about you.
That's right.
They told me that they can almost pin you down to the year you was born with that DNA. Exactly who you are, it's a personal thing, and what sex you are, just from that DNA. And I thought, man, these people need to watch some CSI and some of that stuff and get back educated to what, you know, these cops can go after you and get that stuff, and when they throw you in jail, they're going to put you in the right one, by the way. But here's what the Lord, if you look at verse 6 again, it says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Isn't it sad that he could do some things there, like he said that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands, but yet he comes to this conclusion, they just don't believe. How many churches are held back every year because the church don't believe God can do what he said he can do? You know, all these people have been talking, well, the big church, we got a big church. Go listen to some of their messages. You'll hear this word over and over. It's this word right here, budget. Oh, I know they ain't going to broadcast it on the sermon. They're going to get, after that thing goes off there, they're going to say, we need to have a budget meeting with the budget committee and the deacons and blah, blah, blah. Why? We're not meeting our budget. We're asking everybody, if you can, to contribute. Let's meet our budget this year. Why is that? Because you've been operating on practice and not faith for so long that now that COVID-19 come out and wiped out your congregation, they figured they'd sit at home and watch it just as good as they can. Sit here and watch it. And don't say that COVID really did that. You did, because you closed your church.
Yep.
I'll never forget this popular evangelist here a while back. I saw him on the internet. He is hooping and hollering. Somebody say amen. And finally, they done the camera pan like they normally do in that broadcast. There wasn't a soul in that building. All rehearsed, all acting, no power. I've been shot one time by 220. I'll never on purpose ever grab that again. But I will tell you this. I can act like I'm being shocked by it and maybe even fool a couple people in this room. But there ain't nothing like being plugged in.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's a different feeling. And powerless Christians, when people think they know more than God, they're powerless Christians. A fellow told me he's flat earth. I said, you are. And it just puzzled me. I kept thinking, how does anybody in this day and age think that? We met a sniper here a while back, me and Brother Kirsch did, and he is telling us how they figured their shot. You got to do it with math.
Yep.
And one of the things you figure, if you're a half a mile away, you better figure the curvature of the earth in that thing or you'll miss the target.
Yep.
That's in the math to do that thing. So why would they do that? Because the earth is
round.
According to that crowd, if this thing's flat and it's on a disc like this, they had to leave Japan, come all the way down here, go up here, and then go up here, and then come down and get Pearl Harbor.
Come on.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Well, we got a bunch of winners in this world, don't we? And then I found out something. The guy said, but you don't understand. I did my research. He watched YouTube.
Yep.
There are insane people that have a camera and put stuff on YouTube. You could set a rabbit in front of them, they'd call it a dog and have five videos saying that thing was a dog.
Yep.
Nuts. And everybody's got a political show nowadays. The liberals, the conservatives, the right wings, the left wings, the Republicans, Democrats, all of them have a show. And the bad thing is they all say the same thing depending on which crowd they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I told you a while back that pop singer Richard Marx was on a call with Paul Stanley from KISS, and I watched the thing, and they both come to the conclusion that the way you are is by which news show you watch. Their opinions are based solely on what they hear on the news. Yeah. Don't listen to either crowd.
Amen.
Let the Bible show you what's what, and you'll identify it as soon as it shows up. But they're intellectual. They think they know more than God. And powerless Christians also, when people think they know more than others, they really show how powerless they are. I've always heard, and y'all can tell me if this is wrong, some of you probably experienced this in real life, that some of you started out and you won your first fight, and first little fist fight you got into. Beat the dude up, put him in his place, or her, or whatever you fought, or a binary, whichever one that was. I don't know. And then some way or another, you thought you was the baddest man on the planet. And then later on in life, somebody told you this very wise proverb, there's always a bigger fish in the pond. And then you ran up on him, and now you're 23-1.
Yeah, sure.
You know, brother. And I distinctly remember back in the 80s, the guy by the name of Mike Tyson. He wasn't just Mike Tyson. He was Iron Mike Tyson. You know what he did? He beat up people for a living. It's the craziest thing. You spend $30 for a pay-per-view and the match is less than 5 minutes long because he knocked them out the first or second round. It's like, man, wrestling's better than this. At least they give you an hour in the main event or 45 minutes, you know. Nobody bled in that fight. He just got knocked down. The guy's going like this. There's a guy showed me a video yesterday come from two boxers, and I didn't know who they were. They're little bitty guys, you know. One was from Mexico, and one was from up here. And the guy from up here was bragging at the way in, talking about he was going to knock him out, going to do this, and tried to smack him and all the other stuff. The other guy didn't speak English, didn't understand a word he said. They got in the ring. That guy kept talking to him. And all of a sudden, I kept noticing he kept having little welts come up on his face while he's doing all that talking. And then that dude did something none of these boxers ever do. First time I've seen this in years. He started attacking right here on both sides of them ribs. Bam, bam. And the guy would try to get down here, and he'd come up right in the middle. Like, bam. And he kept on and kept on, and finally that guy's laying on his back. Referee counted him out. The guy's corner guys come in. They're raising him up, putting the belt on him and all that. And I thought, I wonder how that feels to be powerless like that. Because when you get put on the ground, you can't defend yourself. You ever watch a UFC fight, say like that referee will jump right in the middle of that thing before they let him beat him up too bad. I'm the kind of person, I wish they wouldn't do that. I think they ought to go, they knock completely out. That way there's no doubt. That way we come to the next president, well, I only fell down, that's all, I fell down, they counted me. No, if you out cold, that's it, buddy. That's the end of the fight. Now, I noticed this, that he marveled because of their unbelief, and when people can't explain Jesus, they reject him too. They go to YouTube. They go to wherever they can to try to explain him. They cannot explain him. Well, was he 50% God or 50% man? No, he's 100% God and 100% man. Why was he able to do what he was? Because he's God. Nothing's stopping him right now either. Except for one sin. Unbelief. Notice this. We see that not only we must come to the realization that we got that powerless Christians are intellectual. We got to quit relying on our minds like we do, and we got to let that mind that's in Christ be in us. But secondly, this powerless Christians are insatiable. That's your new word for today, brought to you by Sesame Street. Insatiable and the letter I. Insatiable means that you cannot be satisfied. I'm telling you, I've seen insatiable Christians on my ministry. Verse 3 says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? What were they offended? They were offended at him. What were they offended at? Well, here's what they're offended at. It's real simple. He said he was the son of God, and they knew that meant that he believed he was God. But he didn't come in as a conquering hero. He came in as a humble servant. And they weren't satisfied with that. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Who's that? A humble servant. Yeah. These peacocks can't get that. There's so many peacocks. Now we got a peacock app on our phone. Strutting while you're sitting down type. But I've noticed about people that are insatiable, that are powerless, they're never satisfied with his word. Yeah. Brother Mitch just told you something a while ago. I ain't even going to repeat what he said because I've said it. He said enough times, and people still don't get it. They can't be satisfied with this book.
Yeah,
they say, we got to change it according to these later Greek manuscripts. Is that right? So if you go to a reading that's not like you like it, you go to an older manuscript to change that one, don't you? So I don't believe they'd do that. Read Mark 6 in the ESV and tell me where they differ at. Read the NIV and tell me if they leave out followed him. Or they change it to followed him, past tense, like they didn't follow him after that. Isn't that something? So what is that? The Bible of the Month Club. They're not satisfied with his word. I've had these people tell me and argue with me, say, well, I like the such and such translation. And I ask them this one question, this really does it right here. When do you read it? When do you read it? When do you read your Bible that you like, that's tailor-made for you according to what you say? When do you read that thing? And they'll look at me and either look down or they'll look at their watch. They got somewhere to be, anything. But I'll give you something sadder than that. All of us that are King James only, when do you read your Bible? Never satisfied with the Word of God. Never satisfied. When do you read your Bible? I mean, we jump in on that crowd. How about your crowd? How about this? Some are never satisfied with his work. I'll give you some biblical examples. Could you imagine being Noah and told to build this thing that's going to go in water and there's never been rain and God said it's going to rain and you're telling everybody the water's coming from this way and they laugh you to your face? You finally convert your wife and their son and your sons and their wives, and they're out there helping you. And if you ever get in your head how big that thing was, it wasn't built in a day. I mean, there was no Lowe's to gather the materials from. There was no carpenter shop that could fasten you certain pieces. You had to do all that. But they done it. They got in the thing without a door on it. How about that? And Jesus said, I am the door. And they rose above God's judgment. The flood came, just like Noah said. The thing rested over there on the 17th day of the month, same day Christ rose from the dead. About 3,000 years or so later, 4,000. Here's the craziest part of that. After all that's said and done, after he gets out of that thing, after he builds him an altar, the next thing he does, he winds up getting drunk. How sad is that? I mean, a great victory and then a humongous defeat right behind it. We go on down in the Bible, we find Abraham. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He gets out there, and the first time they run into trouble, they ask him who that woman is with him. He said, it's my sister. Yeah. Great man of faith. All of a sudden, he's a liar. We go on down, we find King David. He slew lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Some giant gets out there, and I want to say he probably looked like LeBron James out there running his mouth about things he shouldn't have been. Let me quote you something Donald Trump said to help you out. He needs to stick to dribbling the basketball. I don't give a flip what Aaron Rodgers, Roger Staubach, or any of the rest of them say about anything. I don't watch them for their political opinion or what they think. I watch them play football or basketball or whatever. All these sports people talking about politics. God bless you. Listen, you don't know. You don't even hardly know how to play sports. Unbelievable. And you go down through the scriptures. You see David there standing before that giant, taking the little rock and the little sling, putting it right there. So did that kill him? No, what hit him in the back of the head and pushed him straight to the ground did because he fell that way. He believed. He went through all kind of things being in the king's court. Then he was made king, and then he messed up. Yep. And you think you're something? I believe you'll be unsatisfied if you ain't careful.
Right.
Understand that the man that wrote most of the Psalms fell down and had to get back up.
Right.
Notice this. People are never satisfied with his word. They're never satisfied with his work. They're never satisfied with his will. I know missionaries right now that tell me they want to pastor churches. I know pastors that want to go on the mission field. But unlike this, they do not have enough faith to go out there and do it. Because they got to go out there and go through the whole process of calling all them churches, just like people used to call him. And now they got to go out there and do that every day. And here, we have more missionaries and members, click. We're not taking on nobody, click. And they're the whole time saying this, I think I should have stayed a pastor. No, listen, you got to believe God's already got them things out there, right. And you can go get them. Right. Sometimes people get insatiable about his will. They're never satisfied with God's will. I've heard men say, I want to go pastor church and get a church. I don't like at church. Come on. The battle ain't won in 18 months, my friend.
Right.
You got to stay in there.
Yeah.
I believe God can move people and does move people, but some people, they just can't take it. And the sad part about missing God's will is you cut yourself off from the better parts trying to please yourself. You got to believe God puts you there and God's going to do something there, and you got to stay in there and keep on going and keep plowing that road till the road gets to the end and you turn around and get the next one.
Amen.
I looked back on a message the other day about something about one of the New Year's messages with New Year's coming up, and it's about what we've seen in 2015. Ain't that something? That was a great title, too. I thought, I can't believe I came up with that one. But I look back at what was said back then, it applies today. We're never satisfied with what he told us to do. I've had people tell me, they say, well, I believe God wants me to do this with his will for the rest of my life. They last 2 years tops. Why? They quit believing God. They're powerless. They don't believe him. Therefore, they can't operate, and they think something's wrong with God's what's so sad. Powerless Christians are not only insatiable, but they're also ineffectual. Look down at verse 4. He says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Why there is no honor? Familiarity. I know people right now that you tell them God's will for their life, or God tells them his will for their life, and they go do it, and they're not satisfied with it, and they realize, I'm not being honored where they're at, and they look around, and they're in the town God birthed them in, had them put here. Well, you can't be the next pope living here if you're from here. I've had people tell me for years, wait, you got a big church. I don't want one. I want this church. God's going to do it. He's going to do it here. We seem to send out more pastors, their families, missionaries, their families, stuff like that. I'd rather do that as opposed to putting about 5,000 people on this property and you not do nothing for God. I wouldn't even have to. I could stand Brother Kirsch up and he'd tell you God's truth on this. You go to some churches like that and preach up, barely give you $10 and won't even shake your hand up service. You go to church this side, you get 1,000.
Yeah.
Now, how'd that happen? Faith. Faith. Notice this, powerless Christians are ineffectual because they're looking for honor and can't get any. And he says in verse 5, and he could do no mighty work save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. They limited God through one thing. It wasn't the drinking crowd that done it. It was the religious crowd. They didn't believe God.
Right.
And the lights are out. And the reason their lights are out is because whoever is the leader of this synagogue was the guy that would fit these verses right here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What kind of fables? Well, once upon a time there was... And another time there was this other little guy, and they'll tell these stories for an hour. And people are saying... Can you believe how good that preacher was? He's lied to you for a solid hour about made-up fictional stories, and you're telling me God's in that? Preachers preach the truth. Preachers don't back up and compromise. The God-called preacher has no way out. He's all in. The God-called preacher stands back and says, I'm going to preach to you today on such and such. Not I'm going to give you a little spirited little lesson on something. Not, has anybody got a word from the Lord so we can call off preaching here for about an hour to 5 to 12, then we'll all of a sudden say, well, that's been a good day. The big preacher showed up, and we're going to quit right there. Now, I'll tell you what, do preach after it, because if God give you that message, he intended on you preaching it, let him testify, then you preach. You know what I like best? I like when I preach for a long time, someone's testify after it, and testifies for an hour. Go ahead, help yourself. You know why? Because that way we're not here and we're not bound by anything. We're free. I didn't come looking to quit today. I come looking to finish. There is a difference. And I notice also why there's no work done amongst these ineffectual people in verse 6. He marveled because of their unbelief and he went round about the villages teaching. You know what they do with preachers now? They put them in the Holiday Inn and give them a swimming pool out there, and they're so nice to them, and they're so glad, and he comes in, don't say a word to them, and he leaves and goes next town doing the same thing. You know what the old guys used to do? Listen, if you ever saw that old movie, Sheffy, about that old preacher, he rode a horse around and preached to anybody to listen. George Whitfield, the high up Presbyterian George Whitfield, came to America and stood out in the field wearing his little black skirt and that powdered wig and all that. You could hear him for about 3 miles.
Yeah.
Whole lot different than that crowd today, ain't it? I had an older man tell me one time when I first got to ministry, he said, I can remember back in the day we'd have a meeting before the revival. I said, a meeting before the revival? Yeah, we'd meet about a week before the revival and pray all week. He said, come Sunday morning, we got everybody in the church, we preached, had a good time in the Lord, and he said that we could all get together back then because we all preached one gospel.
Yeah.
By grace through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Right.
He said, now we can't even call on somebody to pray anything because they're going to try to pray their beliefs on somebody that don't believe like them and start trouble like that.
Mm.
I thought him, I said, I think I've been to a funeral or two like that. Ain't that something? And then the craziest part's this. He just went round about teaching because they didn't believe he could do anything else, so he didn't.
Yeah.
Are you hindering God in your life? I mean, can you imagine Jesus Christ in the flesh said, okay, I'm just going to, let's look at Isaiah 1 or something. And I'll just teach you a few things while you're here. Just because they wouldn't believe him. I heard Brother Mitch say the word remnant a while ago. Now, there may have been a remnant there of people because God always has a remnant. But they couldn't get anything done. They were powerless.
Yeah.
Until we come to the conclusion that we're intellectual, insatiable, and ineffectual, we're never going to war with God.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly where I was at the day I surrendered to the Lord, to the exact spot.
Amen.
I was in the balcony of a church running sound for a guy doing a conference on the mind of Christ. God got a hold of me up there. There wasn't nobody up there but me in it, that thing. And I was sitting there thinking, I couldn't go to the altar. I was just trapped. I mean, I'm the guy that if it feeds back, got to turn it down guy like him. I crawled up under that PA desk and begged God to put his power on me and help me. I was willing to follow him anywhere until he told me where to go. Russia, China, Japan, South America, Australia. God said, go to Gaffney. I said, what? This very passage right here. A prophet's not without honor, saving where? And then the Lord reminded me something. He didn't call me to go out and grab honor. He called me to follow him.
Yeah, amen, brother. That's good.
Did you catch his disciples followed him right to his hometown? He didn't avoid it. And one of the greatest victories you'll ever have in your life is realize God can use you where you're at. The people may not honor you. That's no shock. I know guys right now. Policeman come into the store last night, talked to him. There wasn't a soul in there wanted to honor that man. You know what's between him and probably your wreck on 95? Him. Him. Well, what do we do with people like that? I'd buy their dinner if I was you. Thank them. And if you see somebody say defund the police, remind them that if we defund the police, the crack dealer's going to kill them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's all between you right now. Well, you know, we just can't go around having it. There's crooked people out there. Really, what's your line of work? I bet there's crooked people on your job.
Yep.
In fact, I'll say this. For every taxi driver that says preachers are corrupt and cops are corrupt, I remind you that Leroy Martin was the Gaffney Strangler, drove a cab for a living. For you people that say, well, I work in a mill, there ain't nobody like that there. He also worked part-time in that mill, too. For those of you out there that are social justice warriors, might I remind you that Martin Luther King was a communist and part of 33 communist parties the day he died, and that's all he preached. He never preached Christ and him crucified. It's corrupting all of them. But where are you at? I was told years ago by a man, he said there's two kinds of ways you can use a light bulb. You can use it in a chandelier, or you can use it in a trailer park on the backside of nowhere plugged into the wall to keep somebody from stubbing their toe. But you both do one thing. You let the light shine. Powerless Christians, the light's out. You want to remain powerless? Listen, or do you want to go forward for the Lord? If you want to go forward for the Lord, quickly repent of the pride that's crept in your life. Repent of it. Do away with it. Tell it no. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your system. Proud to be a parent of something, and that kid climbs the walls, throws crayons at the teacher, bites the other students, and you proud of that? You need to beat the living devil out of it and put it back in the dirt and do it again. And if it comes home and says it's binary, you can fix that too with that same method. Grandma had no binary children. She had it all as all one or the other. And you in there talking stupid like that around Grandpa, listen, you'd hear something like a lawnmower starting. That's that belt coming out. And you know what he did with that? He adjusted your attitude. And when you quickly repent of that pride that's crept in, ask the Lord for his power to be on your life. Does he want you in a chandelier? Or does he want you to be a nightlight? Does he want you to be a streetlight? What does he want you to be? Just do that. And don't worry about what everybody else is doing, all that. Just do what God called you to do and what his will is for your life. Let's stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we love you.